I just want to set the scene again for worship. And the psalmist says there in Psalm 34, he says, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." When we magnify something, actually, it's hard to keep it to yourself. If you're wanting to do it, if you try, you see something, you magnify it, and you want to share what you're seeing, what you're experiencing. We want to share that with others. And again, the psalmist there in Psalm 69:30 says, "I will praise the name of the Lord with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving." I kind of like this idea that actually it's, as we speak it out, as we declare it, it kind of almost gets bigger as we make that declaration. As we worship, as we praise him, as we give thanks, something expands. The understanding of God increases in our experience there. As we sing about it, as we thankful to God for what he's doing, even as we've heard today, in really difficult circumstances, something stirs, something expands. But normally when we think of magnifying something, we are trying to make small things look bigger. That's kind of the normal thing you do when you magnify, isn't it? And, you know, now you have electron microscopes of different kinds that can magnify by millions, many millions of times to get that magnification and see extraordinary things that were hidden before that. And then at the other end of the scale, you have telescopes that make big things appear small because they're so far away that it makes them their real size. And so when you look up in the night sky and you see all those pinpricks of lights, you think, oh, what are they? And you magnify them and you see that they're stars, you see their planets, you see something about them, their characteristics, the real size. And then you see the utter enormity of the universe as it's magnified. You see it in the real scale that it is in. But as we're coming back to magnifying God, we have to understand that God is so much bigger than we can imagine. He is infinitely big. We can't exaggerate his greatness. We can't overstate his magnificence. We can't do that. We can't increase his size. He is beyond comprehension. So when we magnify him, we're simply trying to bring into sharp focus what is already true about him. You can't make it bigger. Isaiah tries to describe it there in Isaiah 40, when he says this in verse 15, he says, "Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket." You get that picture? The nations, just a drop in the bucket in comparison with the greatness of God. They are regarded as dust on the scales. You know, you get some scales out and you just see a bit of dust on there and you just blow it off or whatever. It's like, that's what it's like in comparison to him. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. And if you do all those things about the weight of the earth, it's an interesting thing if you like those nerdy sort of things. But it's there. And he's saying it's just like fine dust. It's so small in comparison with him. And I imagine as Isaiah was talking about that, it must have taken him back to that great occasion that you read about in Isaiah 6, when it says this, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And as Isaiah saw the greatness of God as he was magnified, if you like, in his eyes, he was forever changed through that experience. And this whole thing that it says, when the train of his robe filled the temple. In ancient times, kings would have long robes attached to their gowns, their garments. because it was actually a declaration, it was a statement of how great they were, how important they were, because making these things wasn't easy. There was no mass production in those days. Everything had to be made carefully by hand, and it took time and it took a lot of expense, it took a lot of skill to produce them. And so only the rich and powerful could afford to have anything extra onto their robes. And the longer the train, the more glorious and the more exalted the king would be. And so he would want to parade through in front of his people just to remind them how great he was. And they could see him and they could see this train that was following him and be impressed by it. We get glimpses of that if you go way back to the coronation of our queen, and you'll see that she wore a robe and had this train behind her. And she made her way down the aisle in Westminster Abbey. She had this royal purple train. If you remember the pictures of it, it was 18 feet long behind her, very heavy. And so she had six maids there that were carrying the train, because I think it had been too heavy for her to drag along behind her because of the size and the weight of it. It was a magnificent train. It was part of the declaration there at that time. But this was nothing in comparison to that which Isaiah saw. What he saw was something beyond that of any earthly king or queen. So I say it is impossible to over-magnify God, because he fills everything in every way. So as I say, when we are magnifying, we're not making him bigger than he is, because even the whole universe cannot contain him. He is greater than it all. And Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, he puts it like this in Ephesians 1:23. He says this: God has placed everything under the power of Christ and has set him up as head of everything for the church. For the church is his body, and in that body lives fully the one who fills the whole wide universe. I just love that. That here's the fullness there. And in that body, in the church, in his people, in you and me, he fills us with himself. And that is extraordinary. The one who fills everything, the one whose magnificence is beyond everything, he fills us with himself. We are the fullness of who he is. And that is both individually and collectively. And I think I particularly want us to think of it collectively, how he fills us. Because we tend to think of things as individuals, because that's what our culture tells us. But actually, as his body, as we are here this morning, he wants to fill us with the fullness of himself as we worship, as we magnify him. Luke records Mary, who was now pregnant with Jesus after the encounter with God, and she goes to meet her relative Elizabeth. And if you remember the story, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and her baby, John the Baptist, that she was carrying, leapt in her womb, we are told. I just love that how there is this spirit-to-spirit connection that takes place. And that caused a response in Mary. Do you understand we can stir one another up in the Spirit as we magnify God? So Mary, as she's stirred up in her spirit, she responds by bursting out in prophetic song. Do you remember how that song begins? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. That's it. When we're stirred up by his spirit, when we're stirred up, it causes us, the first thing it wants, we want to magnify him. We want to declare his greatness. We want to declare who he is. All that had taken place kind of blew her mind, really, didn't it? And you just sense her emotions were heightened, her spirit was stirred. And, And she had to give expression to all that had taken place. And I believe God intends for each of us to do the same. Every fresh glimpse of him, as we take time to just to meditate on his greatness, it stirs us to magnify him again. One final thing, Peter writes this in 1 Peter 2. He says this, but you are a chosen people. Do you understand that? How precious that God chose you and me. We are chosen people, or some versions say chosen generation. And I think that is an eternal generation. It's not limited to one generation in history, but it's like a continuum of a generation. We are chosen in him. He chose us. That we are a royal priesthood. What is the function of a priest? It is to worship God. It's to enable people to encounter him, to worship him, to be stirred by him, respond to him. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession, a people who belong to God. Do you understand? You belong to him in a positive way. Chosen, joined to him, filled with him, belonging to him. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God. That is it. That's why we need to continually be sharing what God is doing. Because every time we do, it magnifies him. It's not to make ourselves look good. It's to make him look good, as he always is good. But it's just to share something about him. Even in the midst of those problems, the challenges, the things that we've been hearing about, that he is still worthy and he is still to be glorified and magnified. Because he is the one, as it says, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the transformation that has taken place in each one of us. We were in that dark place, but he brings us into the light of his presence. And so as we come to worship, the question I have is this: what is the biggest thing that is in my vision? What is the biggest thing that is in my thinking? What is the biggest thing that is in my expectation? Because that's what we magnify. Whatever is biggest before us, that's what we magnify. So if the problem is the biggest thing, and I'm not saying that we're dismissive of problems at all, but I'm saying if that is the biggest thing, that we cannot see beyond that, then that is a thing that will consume us. But without discounting, without diminishing that, God is bigger than our problem. God is bigger than the situation that we are facing. He is above and beyond all of that. And so the prayer I have is, God, become the greater reality in my life, that you would become greater than the issues of my daily life. You'd become greater than the challenges that I'm going through, that you'd become greater than my thoughts about the future, whatever it might be. He is greater, but become greater in my thinking, in my experience. So as we're coming to worship, we come to lift him higher. We come to magnify him. We come to exalt him. We come, if you like, declaring his wonderful acts as we worship together. We come illuminating him. And as we do that, I think we are repositioned. And we are in that place, in the place where we draw others to him. And I have this picture this morning, going back to the Isaiah, he saw the train of his robe filling the temple. As we come to worship, God inhabits the praises of his people. I just kind of picture him over here, the train of his robe just covering us. We're coming under his garment. We're coming under his protection. We're coming on into his presence, that we're changed by as we worship him, as we magnify him. He presences himself and we are forever changed by it. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you have lifted the veil from our eyes, that we can see you. I pray, Lord, that you would enable us to see you ever more clearly as we worship you this morning. that we would see you in all of your magnificence, that we would see you for who you are, that you would become bigger than our problems, that you would become bigger than the challenges of life, that we would see in you the all-sufficient one, that you are our comfort, you are our helper, you are our strength. You gather us up in your arms. Lord, you enable us to be repositioned before you, that we might see you as you are, that you might come and fill this place with your presence as we worship and as we respond to you. Be glorified in this place today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.